we're holding on Kuf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, the fifth line. Mishnah said, "A mechalek nechosev al piv." A person is giving out his nechosim based on his verbal that based on his verbal statements among his children. Riba la'echad miyap la'echad cholosev. He said, if he gave more to one son than another, or if he tries to take away the bechor's portion, then it doesn't work. However, the Mishnah said, if he says it mishum matana, if he says an expression. And so if he says it as a thing of Yerusha, then it doesn't work, because then, as we learned before, he's masna mashakasa b'Torah, he's trying to make a t'nai against what it says in the Torah. So we said, Rabbi Yehuda holds it is possible to make a t'nai against what it says in the Torah when it comes to things of dinim mamonis. But we said in this case, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you can't do that. Because we said in other cases, for example, he knows what to be moichel on. Here he's not voluntarily being moichel. Anyway, but the Mishnah had said, on the other hand, so if he says mishum Yerusha, then it doesn't work. But if he writes at the beginning or the middle or the end, a lashon of matana, then it does work, because matana, a person has a right to give away his property however he wants. So what do we mean b'tchila b'emtsa or b'sof? The Gemara says, heichi domi matana b'tchila, heichi domi b'emtsa, heichi domi b'sof. What do we mean by mentioning matana in the beginning, the middle, or the end? So, ki also Rav Gimi, when Rav Gimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, he explained that Rabbi Yochanan says it means like this. For example, if he says tinosen, then they write it because the rule is if we're talking about a shchiv mara, it doesn't have to be written. Strictly speaking, divrei shchiv mara diksuvin v'chemesudin. It's as if they were written and signed. Nevertheless, they might still write it out anyway. In which case, it's called in Gemara terminology a diatiki. Which comes, either it comes from a Greek word that means a will, or it comes from the expression da tehei lemeikam, this will stand, because the words of a shchiv mara are irrevocable. So if he's a body, then it would have to be written out. Anyway. So he says like this. If he says tinosin sod plonis leploni, if he says this such and such a field should be given to Ploni, the Yerusha, and he will yarshin it. So he did mention the word Yerusha, but he first said tinosin, which is a lashon of matana, zuhi matana batchila. That would mean that's what we mean by putting matana at the beginning. So even though he used the word Yerusha. And Rashbam points out it's based on Loshan Aposik, like the Yirei Shuha, where it's talking about how wild animals will take over the territory of Edom, where they're not yaushening it in the actual sense, but it means he'll take it over. But because he's because he used the word Tinosin, then that's Matona. Yusha v'tinosin lo. If he says the other way around, he should take it over and it will be given to him. Zui matana basoif. That would be the definition of saying matana at the end. Then he might also say yusha v'tinosin lo v'yusha. He might say let him yaushin it and it will be given to him and he will yaushin it. That would be an example of putting the word matana in the middle. And therefore, again, as the Mishnah had said, that would work as long as there's a word matana somewhere, or the word tinosin, which is from the same shurdish, somewhere in there, then it works. Even if by that he's giving more to one son than another, or taking away the bechor's double portion or whatever, because again, we're talking about that he did do it as a matana. The Rosh actually points out that the Ran points out you do have to have vavs there. If he says so here in the Gemara, he said tinosin lo v'yusha or whatever the other lashonis are. If he doesn't write it, if he doesn't say it with a vav tinosin lo yusha or whatever, then it's not so simple. Does it mean would the same kind of thing apply? So then you have the discussion in various places in Shas. We had it earlier in Arma Sechta, whether Tfois Loshen Rishon or Tfois Loshen Acharon, whether you go according to his first Loshen or second. And so as long as you have the Vav, though, it's not two different Loshonis. It's one continuous Loshen, and therefore it definitely works. Okay. Now, Rav Gimi also continues. and points out the davka ba'odam echad. Now, all of this applies only when we're talking where it's being given to one person, the soda achas, and it's only one field. So therefore, so you have, there's a Loshen of Matana and a Loshen of Yerusha. Tosfos points out they had a Gyusa in some Kisvayad in front of them that said, Omer of Yochanan, that of Yochanan says, this point, we don't really need that because it's not a new statement Rabbi Yochanan is making. This is a continuation of what Rabbi Dini is reporting in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Anyway, so when you have one person in one field, then this kind of Loshen is good. But if it's one person in two different fields, let's say, for example, what if he says Reuven should inherit this in this field that's in the east, and he should, and the one in the west should be given to him. Well, then in that case, then each one of them doesn't have a Loshana Matana and Yerusha in it. The fact that he said Matana in one doesn't help us the other one. So it means that one he's trying to do as Yerusha and one he's trying to do as Matana. And the one he's trying to do as Yerusha, no good. Masna Mashafasa Batorah is going against what it says in the Torah. So therefore it wouldn't work. So you would have to say the Loshana Matana by both of them. It's not good enough to say a Loshana Matana by one of them and have it apply to the other as well. Similarly, Soda Achas or Shnei Bnei Odem, and vice versa. If it's one field that he's giving to two different people, for example, he's going to say Reuven should Yarshin half of this field, and half of that should be given to Shimon. Same problem. Shimon will acquire it, even though it's against the rules of Yerusha, because he used the word of Matana. But the Reuven is not going to be Koina his, because he used the word of Yerusha in connection with him. We're not going to take the matana, we're not going to take the word matana that's said by Shimon and apply it to Reuven, and therefore the result is Reuven is not going to have his because it would go against the rules of Yerusha. So it wouldn't work. And the Rashbam adds, Koshikin, obviously if it was two fields and two different people, then for sure it wouldn't work to say Yerusha by one of them and matana by the other one of them. So the Gemara continues. Now, on the other hand, it only works when it's one person in one field. On the other hand, continues the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Afilu Odem Echad, Shtei Sodos, Soda Achad, Shnei Bnei Odem, Rabbi Elazar disagrees and says, no, even if it's one person in two fields, when he said the word Matana by one of them, it works by the other one because it's all one continuous statement, or the same thing, if it's two fields, and that if it's one field that's being given to two different people, same thing, because it's all one statement. Avav Shtei Sodos, or Shnei Bnei Odem Loi, Rabbi Elazar would say, that Rashbam points out this is not part of Rabbi Elazar's statement. This last part of it here, Avos Shtei Sodos, is actually the Gemara's deduction from what Rabbi Elazar is saying. That only when it's one person or one field. So when it's one person and one field, then we're saying it works, as the Mishnah had said, with a Loshen of Matana somewhere in there. When it's two fields and one person or two people and one field, then Rabbi Yochanan is saying that it doesn't work. You have to say Matana by each one of them. Now Rabbi Elazar is saying that no, even when it's two fields and one person or one field and two people, it will work. But the Gemara deduces from what Rabbi Elazar is saying, that if it was two Avav B'Shtei Sodos or Shnei B'nei Odem Loi, but not if it was two fields and two people. How do we know that's not part of Rabbi Elazar's statement? The Rashbam points out, based on the continuation of the Gemara, where the Gemara points out that Rabbi Elazar is not contradicting himself with another statement that we report in his name, is because we ourselves can understand what case he's talking about and what not. If he himself had said the whole thing that we just quoted over here, then obviously the Gemara wouldn't even have room to ask that. Anyway, so now you have a third opinion. Also, Reuven, when Reuven came from Eretz Yisrael, and you often find in Shas that Rav Dimi would come from Eretz Yisrael and report what Rav Yochanan and other Chachamim of Eretz Yisrael had said, and then later on, Reuven would come and clarify or bring different opinions or other things like that. You find that throughout Shas, that was always the order. Rav Dimi would come first and Reuven after him. Anyway, so he also Ravin, when Ravin came, he reported, Omar, he reported a little differently. Tinasan Sada Plinus the Pliny, the Yurash Pliny Sada Plinus, even if it is two different fields and two different people. So he's saying this one should be given to Pliny, and this one Pliny should Yarshin. So it's two fields and two people. Even then you have the Machlokas, Rabbi Yechanan and Omer Kona, Rabbi Lazar Omer Loi Kona, where even then, so Rabbi Yechanan is going to say that, he's Kona, but Rabbi Lazar is going to say that he's not, that he's not Kona. Where it's two fields and two people, because again, whichever one, he said, Lashon Yerusha doesn't work. So really, Rabbi Lazar is being consistent with what we explained about him before, but the question is about Rabbi Yochanan. So, Omalei Abaye L'Rabin, and Chosis Lon Choda, so Abaye says to Rabin, one of the things that you've told us is Noyach, and Chosis Lashon Noyach. One of the things you've told us is very easy to understand in light of what Ravimi already told us. But on the other hand, you've said one thing that's difficult for us, which seems to contradict what we learned before from Ravimi. Bishleim did Rabbi Lazar, other Rabbi Lazar like Kasha. Because within Rabbi Lazar's opinion, there's no question, because again, Kan ba'odem echad v'shtei sadis. Because Rabbi Lazar, again, Rabbi Lazar's explicit statement had just been that when it's one person and two fields, or two people and one field, where as long as one of the entities over here there's only one of, Rabbi Lazar is saying that it works even though by one of them it said Yerusha and the other Matana, because at least you have, since there's it's either one person or one field, then the word matana from one can apply to the other. And we had been bedayek from what Rabbi Lazar had said that when it's two people and two fields, where the one on which matana is said is not the same person or the same field, then it wouldn't work. Well, very well. What you, Ravin, are telling us fits with that exactly. You're saying that Rabbi Lazar explicitly said that when it's two fields and two people, it wouldn't work. Okay, well then that exactly matches what we learned before from Rav Dimi. El of Rav Yochanan and Rav Yochanan Kasha, but isn't there a contradiction within what Rav Yochanan says? You're saying that according to Rav Yochanan, even when it's two people and two fields, he is koine. Now that contradicts what we said before, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, we said that even when it's one person and two fields, or two people and one field, then not. So what's going on with what Rabbi Yochanan holds? And so Robin tells him, that's how it is. Amiroyim, you know, Valdibid Rabbi Yochanan. Amiroyim, namely me and Rabbi Dimi, argue what Rabbi Yochanan holds. So far we have a few different opinions. We have the first version of Rabbi Yochanan, which is Rabbi Dimi's version, that only when it's one person and one field, then you can say matana by one and Yerusha by the other, and the word matana will be reapplied to the one that he said Yerusha, but not if it's two people. But not if it's two, and then it works whether he said the word matona at the beginning, the middle, or the end, but not if it was two people in one field, or one person in two fields. We have Robin's version of Rabbi Yochanan that no, on the contrary, even if it's two people in two fields, he would be the one on whom he said Yirash would be Koine, because he said it continuously with the other one that he said Tinosvin. And then we have Rabbi Lazar's opinion that says that as long as you have one thing in some place, either one person or one field, then it'll work, even if it's one person in two fields, or two fields in one person in two fields, or two people in one field, but not if it's two people in two fields.
Then the Lashon is very...
Then you have to have the Lashon Matana individually on each one, right? So, but Resh Lakish, Omar, now Resh Lakish has yet another opinion. Resh Lakish says, never mind all of that, Loikona, or Hagoyes Habach adds the word Lo'olam Loikona, he's never a Kona, the one on whom he said Yerusha, Ad Shiyoma, Pliny of Pliny, Yushu Sada Pliny of Pliny, Pliny of Pliny, Shinesatim Lahem Matana, V'Yerushu. Unless he actually says, when you have two people and two fields, then he's never going to be Kona unless he puts the word Matana in the middle. He can use the word Yerusha at the beginning and at the end, but he has to use the word Matana in the middle over there, because since we're talking about there are different Gufim, it's different people and different fields, And each one is considered a maaser of its own, so therefore you can't say that what he said on one is going to apply to the other. So if he were to say matana for one and yerusha for the other, then it wouldn't work. One wouldn't apply to the other. And actually, the Rashbam goes on to say then, he actually needs a double loshen corresponding to the two maises, to the two maises. So therefore, when he says Yerusha at the beginning and at the end, and Matana and Matana in the middle, what it means is actually, so obviously if he weren't to mention Yerusha at all, then for sure it would be fine. But if he's going to mention a loshen of Yerusha, then what he does is now we can, so actually, what it means is because he uses the word Yerushu in the plural and Yerushum at the end, so therefore now what we're able to do is we're able to take the Loshen Yerusha, which applied to both of them, and say that now the Matana that was mentioned in the middle goes on both of them. So he would actually have to say this Loshen if he wants to be Makne to both of them. And again, we're going against the regular dinim of Yerusha because Reuben and Shimon are some of his children whom he's giving more than to his other children, or he's trying to take away the chevet b'chayra or whatever it is he's trying to do exactly. So he would have to actually say. That they are going to Yarshin, Soda Plenio Plenis, which I gave them as a gift, the Yerushum, and then, so what it means is, the first Yerushu is going to refer to the Reuven, the second one is going to refer to Shimon, and therefore the Matana in the middle is necessarily going to refer to both of them. So now in effect what we have is when he says Nasati Lahem means that it's going on the Yushu from the first one and the Yushu from the second one. Now the Rashbam explains, in other words, if he were to say, for example, they should Yarshin these fields that I gave them Matana, but he didn't put the word the Yerushum at the end, then it wouldn't work, because now you have two different Maisim, in other words, you still say that one would have Yerusha and one would be Matana. You would say, after all, there's two Lashonis, Yerushu and Tinosin,
which one would be which?
And therefore you'd have a problem, because the one whom he says Yerusha, it doesn't work, so there, that's why he has to say Yerushum at the beginning and at the end, and put Matana in the middle.
If he doesn't want to say Yerushum
at all, then the Pashas wouldn't be a problem at all. But if he wants to say Loshen of Yerushum, then he'd have to do it that way. On the other hand, the Rimi, now that's according to the Rashbam, the Rimi Gash actually learns differently and says that no, Rish Lakish never meant to say it has to be Davka like that. All he means is, in other words, if you're going to put it Be'emsa, which the Mishnah had described as one of the possibilities, then that's how you would have to say it. But sure, you could put Matana at the beginning or the end, and it would work also even when it's two fields and two people. So far we have four opinions on the subject. I think the machlokas in the Gemara that has the largest number of different opinions, maybe the one about Yakna has. We have eight different opinions in the Gemara and Pesachim, what the order should be. I don't know if there are more than that. So the Gemara continues, Biplugta. Now there's machlokas among the later Amiroyim about this also, not with more opinions, but with more Chachamim who say, with more Amiroyim who say like the various opinions that we've learned so far. Namely, Omer of Hamnuna Loishanu Ela Odom Echa Besada Achas. Rav Hamnuna learns that on Mishnah, when it says that it works if he uses the Loshen Matana at the beginning or the middle or the end, would work only when it's one person in one field. Where again, then, because he said a Loshen Matana, therefore we can, in effect, ignore the Loshen of Yerusha and say that he didn't mean Yerusha as in to inherit, which would be against the Torah, but rather he means it more like the takeover, which is fine, as the Rashbam had brought from a Pasuk where the Shurdash Yorash can also mean to take over.
Only against Torah because of the Bechari, that's it, right?
No, so we're talking about two different possibilities. You can have where he's trying to give more to one son than the other, okay. Or where he's trying to take away the Bechari's double portion. So the Mishnah had said it doesn't work because Masna Mashakasa Batara. But we also said that if he says Meloshin Matana, then it'll work. So then it'll work. So now what we're saying, so again, the question is, is it enough to just say a Loshin Matana somewhere in the beginning, middle, or end, or do we need more than that? So again, we had, so before we started out by saying that Rav Dimi had said in the name of Rav Yochanan that it works only by one and one. But once you have two entities on either side, two people or two fields, then you need a Loshin Matana individually for each one. So Rav Hamnuna holds the same kind of thing. So Aval Adam Echad or Shtei Sadis, but if it was one person in two fields, Sada Achas or Shtei Bnei Adam, or Shnei Bnei Adam, but if it was one field that he's giving half of it to each of two different people, then it wouldn't work. Then he would have to say Matana on each one individually, says Rav Hamnuna, which would be like Rav Dimi's version of Rav Yechon. Rav Nachman says even if it's one person in two fields or one field in two people, it would work by saying a loshana matana on one of them and it would go on the other one, which means that he holds like Rav Elazar. But Rav Shesha Samar, Afilu Shtei Sodas, or Shnei Bnei Adam, and Rav Shesha says it would work as long as there's a Loshana Matana, even if it was two different fields and two different people, which would be like Robin's version of Rav Yechanan. So in short, in other words, the three opinions that were, so the first three opinions that we had, the two versions of Rav Yechanan, and the opinion of Rav Elazar, are reflected by three later Amoraim. So far, we don't have anybody who holds like anybody else who holds like Rish Lakish, but we'll go on to talk about his opinion later on. So now the Gemara is not just bringing this. The Gemara is not just bringing these opinions to say that. This is all according to the Rashbam, the Vimi Gash, and then several other Rishonim learn that actually, as far as Rish Lakish's opinion, he does basically agree with Rabbi Yochanan that only when it's one person in one field, he's saying Matana Be'emsa. He's saying you have to say Matana Be'emsa, but if he were to say at the beginning or the end, it would also work. As opposed to the Rashbam is saying specifically, Rish Lakish is insisting you have to have the word Matana at the Davke in the middle and have Yerushim before and after it in order to make it clear that the Matana goes on both of them. So now the Gemara hasn't just brought Rav Hamnuna, Rav Nachman, and Rav Sheshes just to say that Mu Amoraim hold like Rav Yochanan and Rav Elazar respectively. There would be no reason for that. Rather, it's because, as the Gemara is going to go on to say now, Rav Sheshes is going to try to prove the opinion that he holds according to Rav Sheshes, who holds like Ravin's version of Rav Yochanan. He's going to bring a proof from it from a Braisa. Amar Rav Sheshes Menah Minala. So Rav Sheshes says, from where am I getting that even by two different fields and two different people, it would still work to say Matana by one of them, and we would apply it to the other one. Netanya, we learn in a Braisa.
It's all singular in Lashon.
So even though, in other words, he said Yerusha for one, Matana for the other. So he said Reuven should Yarsh in this field, and Shimon should be given that field. Nevertheless, Rav Sheshes holds that works, and even though neither Reuven nor Shimon, so for Shimon, there's no question it would work. He said a Loshana Matana. But the point is, even though now Reuven is being given more than he should among the sons, or even he's being, you know, one of the children is being disinherited altogether. But and we said in the mission it doesn't work because Masna Mashakasa Batara. But here, because he used a Loshana and a Matana in the same sentence, basically one after the other, and said Matana on one and Yerusha on the other, then it still works. We take the Matana and apply it to the other one as well. Even though it's Gufin Mechlokin, it's different people, different fields. Nevertheless, Rav Sheshes says that it works.
But he uses two different Lashonas.
Doesn't matter that he uses two different Lashonas. So now Rav Sheshes says, where do I get this from? I can prove it from the following Braisa, the Tanya. If a person says, a shrivmera, says before he, so it could be a shrivmera, it could be a body who's going to, it could be a body, it could be a healthy person, but he's going to Medina Sayam, and he wants to make sure that his children are being taken care of while he's away. Anyway, so if he says, tnusha, he says to somebody who's going to take care of them, an apotropos, he says, tnusheka levonai b'shabbos. I want you to give a shekel to my children every week. The Shabbos doesn't mean Shabbos. It means the week, like Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos and so forth. So I want you to give them a shekel every week, where a shekel is half of a seller. Uruyin litin seller. Now they ought to be given a seller. Because for example, you could have that a shekel is not going to be enough for them. A shekel is not going to be enough for their expenses, whether because of a shekel is half of a seller. So you could have, for example, prices are higher than expected. You could have, there's a lot of them, whatever. So he said a shekel, but if they're supposed to be getting a seller, noisim lahen seller, well then fine. So then he should give them a seller, because when he said shekel, he just meant, in other words, don't overspend on them. He didn't doubt to mean that it should be only a shekel. He doesn't want to starve them or something. So therefore we understand that he meant that he meant to give them at least a shekel, but more if necessary. Just give it to them b'tzimtzum.
A day or a week, or just
we said b'Shabbos, so a week.
Oh, well, it was a week. Okay.
The im ama al titin lahan el a shekel, but if he says don't give them only a shekel, a noisim lahan el a shekel, then he gives them only a shekel, because then he makes it clear that he wants to dafka give them a shekel and no more. Now the Gemara elsewhere explains that this braisa is according to the mayor who says mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames. So therefore, because the guy is a shchidmer and now he's passed away, then therefore we have to be mekayim what he. Therefore we have to be mekayim what he said. Then the Gemara elsewhere discusses this and says it's not so simple over there. Rav Chista, the Gemara brings in Ksubas when it brings this Braisa, it mentions over there that there's actually a story in Gemara Tainis where Ilfa posed a challenge to people. The Gemara tells a story over there of Yochanan and Ilfa had been chaverim. Then they left the Beis Medrash for a while to go earn parnasa. Then Rabbi Yochanan heard a baskel indicating that he's going to become the Rosh Yeshiva. So he left and went back to the Yeshiva and eventually became the Rosh Yeshiva. Ilfa was very put out by that. I could have been the Rosh Yeshiva. I could have been the Rosh Yeshiva too. I don't want anybody to think that I'm less of a Talmud Chacham than Rabbi Yochanan. For one thing, it would make people disrespect the Torah. It would make people think that look at that, a Talmud Chacham like Ilfa abandoned Torah. So therefore, he posed a challenge to anybody who, and he says, anybody who brings me a braisa from Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia, I will be able to show that it's sourced in a Mishnah. So one person comes to him and quotes him this braisa, and Ilfa explains it's based on a statement of a mayor and a Mishnah, mitzvah l'kayim divrames. With that said, though, the Rashbam points out that in the Gemara in Ksubas, the Gemara brings it from Rav Chista over there in the name of Ma'ukva that no, actually, either way, whether he's, even if he said al tinten on the hand el shekel, you still give them as much as they need. Because in other words, yes, we say mitzvah l'kayim divrames as far as other people, but he said, even though he said al tinten on the hand el shekel, it just means because he expects them to work for a living. He doesn't want them to sit around and do nothing. But nevertheless, if the fact is that a shekel is not going to be enough for them, then the trustee, the apotropos, is going to have to give them a seller.
Should that be kind of...
Even though it's not mekayim divrames, because again, he obviously didn't mean that his children should not be able to eat. So yeah. There is a bit of discussion about that actually. So Rashi actually in Ksubas brings that fine if they need what, so does it mean that you actually give them more than a seller, or does it mean in other words that basically they're going to collect a shekel from the nechassim and then the rest are going to have to be supported by tzedakah? Is that what it means? In other words, the Rama brings that no, even the Braisa is saying only if they can barely get by with the shekel, then fine, then you give them just a shekel, even according to this Braisa. But if they absolutely can't live on a shekel, then even the Tana of this Braisa would agree that you should give them whatever you need. We're talking about also, for example, the children are young. We're afraid they're going to overspend. Once they're adults, there's no apotropos involved anyway. You give them the nechassim, and it's up to them to decide what to do with it. Anyway, so far, now that part of the braisa has nothing directly to do with what we're talking about in the sugya, but we're bringing the complete braisa. But now here's the part that Rav Sheshis is going to bring his proof from. The im omar, what if he says as part of his instructions, im mesu, if these children die when there's still some of the nechassim left, Yushu Achirim Tachtehim, then I want other people to Yaushin instead of, now normally their children would Yaushin from them. So Reuven has sons, Chanoch and Palu, etc. So normally their children would inherit after them. Here he's saying that instead of that, when they die, when there's still Nechosim around, then I want other people to Yaushin instead of them. So therefore, in other words, that shows that he wants to save as much of the Yerusha, as much of the Nachla as possible, so that it will be able to go to those Achirim. So then, Bein Shama Tnu, Bein Shama Al Titnu, whether he used the expression Tnu Lahem Shekel, or whether he said Al Titnu, only give them a shekel, either way, Noisim Lahem El Shekel, we give them only a shekel because it's clear that he wanted to save as much of the Nechosim as possible to go to those Achirim.
Doesn't say who the
Achirim are. Doesn't say who the Achirim are. So that's the question. Now, in this case over here, he's using a lashon of matana for his children because he's saying al tnu lahem or al titnu lahem. And he's using the lashon of Yerusha for others, Yushu Achirim Tachtehim. So it's the equivalent of two people and two fields. So the Katani Dekani, and yet we're saying that those Achirim are able to be Koina. That's why we're saying, why do we give a shekel a week? Why do we give only a shekel a week, a half a sella, to the children in order to save as much as possible for the Achirim? So we see, therefore, says Rav Sheshes, you see that the Lashon Matana on one thing applies to the other. So even though those Achirim are not ones who usually would Yarshin him, nevertheless, he said, Yushu Achirim Tachteim, which according to our Mishnah shouldn't have worked because how can you use a Lashon of Yerusha and go against what the Torah says? But because he said Tnu Shekel of Onei B'Shabbos, so we take the Tnu and we apply it to those Achirim as well. Well, there you go, says Rav Sheshes. So you see that even when it's two fields and two people, a lashon and a matana on one applies to the other one as well. So that was Rav Sheshes' proof. However, however, Rav Sheshes, who pointed out that stira against the other Amoraim, he also answered it, that how is it that this Mishnah does not contradict the other Chachamim, Rav Hamnuna and Rav Nachman, and in turn the various other opinions that we quoted before, Rav Yechon and Rav Elazar, is the royal Yoshai, the Rabbi Yochim and Berakehi, because we can be talking about where those Achirim are actually people who are able to be, who are able to Yarshin him, so they are other children of his. So he's telling the Apotropos before he passes away, or before he goes to Medina Siyam or whatever, he says, as far as two of my children, let's say, I want you to give each of them a shekel per week for their expenses. Then, if they die and there's still nechosim, then one of the other children will yarshin all the rest of it. Now, there may be other sons. It may even be that the ones who had the ones that he said originally have children of their own. Nevertheless, as we're going to learn in the next Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan Bereka says that in the previous Mishnah that if he tries to disinherit a son, it doesn't work, unless he says Malosh and Matana. But in the next Mishnah that we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, Rabbi Yochanan ben Bereka disagrees and says, Im Omer Amishal Roy LeYoshoi, if he says a Loshan of Yerusha on somebody who is fit to Yarshan him, for example, one son among all the other sons, then it works. So the same way over here, we can be talking about this guy had a bunch of sons. He has Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc. So now he says to the Apotropos, Reuven and Shimon, I want you to give them a shekel per week. Now if they die, instead of that it should be divided equally among all their brothers, or instead of that it should be that if Reuven and Shimon themselves have children, then it should go to them, as would be the normal rules of Yerusha. Instead, we're going to override that, and we're going to give all the Yerusha to Levi, for example, even though normally Yehuda should have a portion of it as well. So then, according to Rabbi Yechon ben Bereka, that works, because after all, Levi is roi to Yarshin them. So therefore, so.
So fine, what it really means is, in other words, he really wants Levi to get all of it, but he doesn't completely want that Reuven and Shimon should be left without any support at all. So therefore, which is why he's saying give them a shekel per week.
But then if that's the case, then he should be giving Levi also a little bit. Levi also has to eat.
Fine, but let's say that Levi and Yehuda are already self-supporting. Let's say Levi and Yehuda already have things of their own and they're able to support themselves with that. Yeah. So the Rashbam points out, now we're going to learn tomorrow, Beis Hashem, we're going to learn in what way do the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha. We're going to talk about, are we talking about one son among other sons, or would Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha even say his din? For example, what about, for example, if he's saying that instead of giving it to my sons, I want to give it to my daughter, would that work? A daughter doesn't usually yarishin when there are sons, but we're going to take up that point in the Gemara tomorrow.
That's
about
my time, don't
so, so yes, yeah, so that distinction of how we're going to understand Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha versus the Chachamim is going to affect the understanding of our Braisa and our Sugya over here.
But we're saying in the Gemara, he answered the question.
So that's Rav Sheshet had pointed out that I have proof for my opinion from the Mishnah. However, I don't want to say that this Braisa contradicts Rav Hamnuna and Rav Nachman, because according to them, we can explain that we're talking about that it's Beroy Liyoshari. Where the Achirim are not stam cousins or other strangers or whatever, but rather so some of his own children or some of the other ones who would normally be in line to Yarshin him. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha, because it would follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha in the next Mishnah. Okay. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Ashi Toshma. So Rav Ashi says, fine, we don't have a solid proof one way or the other from that Braisa, because again, you can understand that like Rav Sheshes, that it doesn't matter who the Acherim are, once he said a Loshen of Matana for his children, then the word Matana applies to those Acherim as well. But on the other hand, we're saying maybe not, because maybe both the children and the Acherim are all children of his. But Rav Ashi says, I'll give a different proof. A person says, for example, that my nechosim should go to you, va'acharecha, but after you pass away, yirash ploini, instead of it going to your children, I want ploini to yarshin it instead, va'acharecha yirash ploini, and after the one after you, then ploini should inherit. So in other words, he's saying, that each one who inherits is only inheriting it for life. It's only a life tenure, I think they call it in Lahavdil and secular law. So, but each one, after you, then it's going to go to Pliny. So, Mesrish and Konashani. So, if when the first one passes away, then the second, when he used the expression, Nechos Elecha, that's a Loshen of Matana. He didn't say the word matana explicitly, but nechos elecha means I'm giving my nechosim to you. That's a matana. Then he says yirash as far as the second and as far as the third. So it's obviously two people, three people. And as far as sodos, it's also considered like separate fields, because the second one can't get anything until the first one dies. In other words, all the nechosim belong to the first one, even to the extent we touched on the Gemara before. We're going to discuss it later on that the first one is able to sell whatever of the nechosim he wants. If he wanted to go and sell all the nechosim so that by the time he dies there's nothing left, then fine, the second one's not going to have anything to yarshin.
That doesn't go together with only one shekel.
So that's a different thing. There, where he explicitly said, "I want you to give them only a shekel, etc." That shows he wanted to save for the other one. Now it is true also. He does want to save something for the second and for the third. And the fact is, the Gemara mentions later on that if somebody gives the first one advice and tells him, "Want to sell all of it, and then you'll have it for yourself," then such a person who gives such advice is called a Roshan. Because he's trying to contravene what the original person said. But nevertheless, it would work. So therefore, in that sense, the second one doesn't get anything until the first one dies. So it's considered like shtei sodes. So it's considered like separate fields.
If he sells everything, but it's still, if he has, when he dies, he has money. Still
if he has money, then fine, it'll go to the next one. But what if he sells all of it and then he goes and blows it? Yeah. Anyway, so mes rishon. So once the first one dies, kona sheni. Then yeah, the second one is kona mes sheni kona shlishi. Then if the second one dies, then the third one gets it. What about if they die out of order? The mes sheni b'chayi rishon. What happens if the second one dies while the first one is alive? Yaksur nechosim liyoshe rishon. Then the nechosim go back. Then the nechosim revert to the yoshim of the first one. Because the only reason why would we say the third one, why would we say the shlishi gets it, is only by virtue of the sheni. Here the sheni never gets it because he died before the rishon ever did. Therefore, he never got his hands on the nechosim. Therefore, the third one can't get it after him. It was supposed to be acharav the shlishi.
Oh, that breaks over the chain.
Therefore, it breaks the chain. Yeah. Therefore, it breaks the chain. Yeah. So the result is that it goes back to the rishon, and therefore, it continues to be by the yoshim of the rishon. Okay. Now again, v'ha hachakatikshu dikshtei sadas or shnei bnei adam dami. Now here you have, in effect, it's like two fields and two people obviously, and again, two fields, because each one only gets after the previous one, then it's considered, in effect, like two fields, v'katoni dikana. And we're still saying that each one will be koine, even though by some of them, by the first one, he used the loshen of matana, and by the other ones, he used the loshen of yerusha. You're going to try to answer, continues Rav Ashi, that maybe we could say also, like Rav Sheshes did with his Braisa, that we're talking about, they're all royal Yosha, we're talking about they're all his children, and it's following Rav Yechon Ben Broika's opinion that there he can play around with things, because they're all royal Yosha anyway. No. If that were to be the case, why would you say, in that case, why would you say that if the second one is already royal Yoshei, then why, if the second one died, the third one would get it? Didn't Rav Acha Breidit of Ivya send a message that the Divir Rav Yechon Ben Broika, if we follow Rav Yechon Ben Broika's opinion, and in the end we do la halacha, that if the shchivmanah says nechosel lecha ba'acharecha leploini, if he says my nechosim should go to you, and after you die I want it to go to ploini, but verishin royli yoshei, but the first one is suitable to yarshanim, is one of his children, for example, aim l'sheni b'makom rishin klum, then the second one doesn't get anything. When the first one dies, she'ein zaloshin matana ela loshin yerusha. Because on the contrary, even though he said nechase lecha, which is a loshin of matana, but because the first one is royal yerusha, we would say that it's considered to be a yerusha, not considered a matana. And once it is, the yerusha ein lahefsek. Yerusha never ends. When he said, in other words, if he were to explicitly say to the first one, according to Rabbi Yechon Ben Broika, I want you to yarshin my property, Rabbi Yechon Ben Broika would say it works because he's royal yerusha. So Rabbi Yechon Ben Broika doesn't consider that masna masha kasim atorah, because after all, this person is royal yerusha. It is one of his sons.
Even though he's not the Bechor.
But now the result is that if he says acharecha leploini, it doesn't matter. The acharecha can never take effect because the first one is now considered to be a yerush. And once we say that he's yerush, yerusha in lahefsek, we don't break it off and say that now it goes to somebody else. That works only with a matana.
Even though he said acharecha.
So it comes out. So now, applying that to the previous case that Abashi was bringing from his braisa, where we have three people involved, fine. Maybe we could say the first one, Nechosel Lecha, is not Rory Leyosha, and we say it works only because it's a Lashon Matana. Fine, but Acharecha Leploini, but Acharecha Yirash Ploini, he's using a Lashon of Yerusha. If that Ploini, if the second one is Rory Leyosha, then we're back to Rabbi Yechon Ben Broika's opinion. According to the Chachamim, the whole thing wouldn't work anyway. The Chachamim don't allow you to disinherit somebody. So that's the thing. If we said the Braisa is like Rabbi Yechon Ben Broika, then it wouldn't work now that we have this new understanding of Rabbi Yechon Ben Broika. So necessarily, therefore, this Braisa would have to be like the Chachamim, namely our Mishnah. And our Mishnah had said, as long as you put the word matana somewhere in there, then it works. Then you are able to override the dinim, the regular dinim of Yerusha. Well, very well then. The Braisa is saying that even when you have two people and two fields, it is going to work. So only like Rav Sheshes' opinion, not like Rav Amnona, and not like Rav Amnona, and not like Rav Nachman.
Sheshes says what?
Rav Sheshes has said, even if it's two fields and two people, as long as you set a matona by one of them, then it works to override the dinim of Yerusha, even though you said Yerusha for the other one. So in short, in other words, Rav Ashi is saying that this Braisa can't possibly be like Rav Yechon ben Broika, because then it wouldn't work once if we're talking according to Rav Yechon ben Broika and we're saying Rory Le Yoshoi, then it wouldn't work once he says a Loshon of Yerusha on the second one, then Yerusha ain't my Hepsik. Necessarily, therefore, the Braisa has to be according to the Chachamim, who don't allow him to override the dinim of Yerusha at all, only by using a word of Matana. Well then, so we're talking about, so according to the Chachamim, it doesn't matter whether Rory Le-Yosha or not. Either way, according to them, the only way to override the regular genome of Yerusha is by saying the word Matana. And here we're saying that he said Matana to one of them, Nechase Lecha, but the other ones he used the Loshon of Yerusha. And nevertheless, we said the Loshon of Matana carries through to all of them, which shows that even by two people in two fields, it works.
Because the
word Matana that he used on one of them applies to the other ones as well, even though he used the word of Yerusha by them. Even though when it's two people, even when it's Alcha and Acharecha, nevertheless, the fact that he said Matana at the beginning, Nechase Lecha, carries through to all of them. We consider as though he said Matana Nechase Lecha, and afterwards they're given as a Matana to Pliny, and afterwards they're given him as a Matana to Pliny, and therefore it works.
So actually, he used the word Matana to make sure that
he used the word Matana at the beginning.
That's the first guy.
But that's the thing. He used the word Matana at the beginning. The point is that we have a proof from this Braisa that even though he didn't use the word Matana for the other ones, and according to Rav Hamnuna and according to Rav Nachman, it shouldn't work for the other ones, because the other ones he didn't say Matana, he said a Loshon of Yerusha, and it shouldn't work because he can't override the Dinim of Yerusha. Nevertheless, they would say that it works. They would say that it only works by one person in one field, according to Rav Amnona, or maybe it works with two people in one field, or two fields in one person, as Rav Nachman would say. But here we see, even though it's two fields and two people, nevertheless, we say the word Matana by one of them applies to all the other ones.
And we just guess the first one was the
So the Gemara says Tziufta Dekulu. So this is a clear contradiction on all of them, on all of those Chachamim. Meaning, in other words, well, obviously, except for Rav Sheshes. So Rav Sheshes is not contradicted by this, because Rav Sheshes is saying exactly that, even if it's two fields and two people. But we now have a clear contradiction on Rav Hamnuna and Rav Nachman, which in turn means that we've contradicted Rav Dimi's version of Rav Yechanan and Rav Elazar. So the Gemara says, you're right, that is a clear contradiction. By the way, when you use the Lashon Yerusha Ein LaHefsek over here, there's a lot of places where this is used also in a sense of in an avoidedika sense. For example, when you say the Torah is Merosha Kelas Yaakov, it means Ein LaHefsek. There's no break in that. It goes from one generation to the next among us Jewish people, and there's no hefsek in that. Same thing the Yerusha of Eretz Yisrael, same thing there, a lot of other things that we say in Torah or Yerusha. Meaning, in other words, you know, we talk about, for example, Hashem gave us the Torah. We talk about it in many different ways. We talk about it as a gift that Hashem gave us the Torah. We talk about a Yerusha, Merosha, Kehilas Yaakov. We talk about that in a sense it's also like a sale that Hashem, so to speak, sold us the Torah. So each one has its advantages over the other. Each one, and there's a different recovering all grounds. Yeah, for example, there's a sikha where that ever talks about, we learned in Bava Metzia, about the dinim of Bar Metzra, And we have the Sicha where it ever talks about, based on earlier Sfarim, about how Moshe, when he's arguing for Malachim, the Torah should be given on earth, is arguing on grounds of, the Malachim are arguing for Tzei and Shemayim on grounds of Bar Metzra, because we're the neighbors of the Torah, so to speak. And Moshe Rabbeinu shows how that argument can be overridden. So the whole Sicha where it ever explains in detail how that is. And one point of that is because, again, there's different aspects in how Hashem gave us the Torah. It's not only a Matana. It's not only a Matana or a sale, in which case Bar Metzra would apply. It's also a Yerusha, and different other points about that.
So they argue,
and the Torah came from Lamaila, and therefore we're the neighbors of it. And in the end, actually, the Rebbe explains that you don't really need all of that. In that particular case, Moshe is saying we need the Torah in order to make a dir of a tachtonim, and the Gemara establishes there in Bava Metzia that if one person wants the field for farmland and the other wants it to build a house, then the one who wants to build the house is the one who has precedence
over
even the neighbor, or even the Bar Metzra. So therefore, since we want to use, because house is more important. So therefore, since we want to use the Torah to make a dira b'tachtonim, then therefore that successfully won the case. Anyway, the point is that we have this washing Yerusha Ein Lahefsek, which comes up in many other regards as well. So the Gemara asks, Leima nami tevet yufta dirish lochish. Well, does that mean that this Braisa also ends up contradicting Rish Lakish? Because Rish Lakish had said that you always need two Lashonis of Yerusha and one of Matona in the middle, according to the Rashbam's understanding of Rish Lakish. Fine, even according to the Ramaz, even according to the other Rishonim's understanding of Rish Lakish, it still means that he said you need a Lashon of Matona and a Lashon of Matona individually for each one of them. So our Braisa would seem to contradict him as well, because according to our Braisa, we just said that he said Matona for one of them and it applies to all of them. But the Gemara says you can't. But how could you think that we shlugged up Rish Lakish and the halacha wouldn't be like him? Rava says that there are three cases where the halacha is like Rish Lakish. Usually when Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish argue, usually the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. But Rava says there are three cases where the halacha is like Rish Lakish, and this is one of them. So obviously, Rish Lakish can't have been contradicted by a Braisa. And the answer is like Kasha, can the Toch Kadeh Dibur, can the Acha Kadeh Dibur? The answer is because there's a difference of whether he said everything within Toch Kadeh Dibur. So he said, Toch Kadeh Dibur, you have different Rishonim who argue whether it's the amount of time they say Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umoyli, which is a fraction of a second longer. But anyway, if he said it Toch Kadeh Dibur, so then it's all considered one thing, and then the Lashon of Matana will work for the ones who he said Yerusha on as well. So therefore, even Rish Lakish will agree, and the Braisa is not contradicting that in that case it works. Kan La'acha Kadeh Dibur, as opposed to when he said one, and then the other one, he said La'acha Kadeh Dibur, then it wouldn't work to apply the Lashon of Matana from one of them to the other, and therefore he's the... So when Rish Lakish is saying that when Rish Lakish is saying Loikana is where, in other words, where he said La'acha Kadeh Dibur. So Rish Lakish is saying when he says La'olam Loikana, it means when it's Acha Kadeh Dibur, unless he says the Lashon that he said before. So now Rashbam goes on to point out Rav Dimi and Rav Elazar have definitely been contradicted, because they clearly said that with two people in two fields it doesn't work unless you say Matana and Yerusha on each one, which means, in other words, they would say even Toch Kadeh Dibur. Because otherwise they could say that, otherwise they would have said that. And they're saying the only way that it would work is when it's one person or one field. But here we're saying, in other words, as far as Rish Lakish's opinion, we haven't necessarily slugged it up on the basis of this. We could say that it does work according to them. We could say according to Rish Lakish, at least it works if it was all the Toch Kadeh Dibur. So where's the Toch Kadeh Dibur, then it works. So the Gemara points out that the Hilchsa Toch Kadeh Dibur Kedibur Dami. In general, the halacha is whenever you have something that was Toch Kadeh Dibur, then it's considered like it was said all together, which would mean that Rashbam says, for example, if it's possible to follow both of them, then we would say that we follow both of them. When you can't, when one contradicts the other, then we have what we learned earlier in our Masechta about Tfos Loshen Rishon, Tfos Loshen Achron, whether we go according to the first or the second Loshen. We had different opinions over there. And we have different circumstances. Sometimes we say Tfos Loshen Rishon, Tfos Loshen Achron. Sometimes we even have a suffix. We learned before we had the whole case where, for example, a person is selling a field mid bechevel hein chaser hein yeser. He says, for example, I'm selling you a field measured by a rope, which suggests a very exact measurement. But then he said ben chaser hein yeser. It might be a little less or a little more. Where then we say that it means that there's wiggle room over there. Yeah, so do we go according to Loshen Rishon or Loshen Achron over there? We had where, for example, he's saying, I'm renting you this bathhouse for 12 gold dinner per year, one dinner per month. What happens with the Iber month? We had various cases in the Gemara over there about, so sometimes we said Loshen Rishon, sometimes we said Loshen Achron, sometimes we say Yachloiku, depending.
With Rashi, right? Sometimes there's a Kalal Rashi with a Supshat Rashi. You somebody do the first one through the second one?
I'm not sure about that. I mean,
Rebbe's Rashi says,
I don't know. No, the Rebbe's point in many Rashi sikhs is when Rashi brings more than one explanation is because each one has a weakness relative to the other. So he'll bring the first one first because it's the best one of them, but then he'll say there's some flaw in it, and therefore he has to bring the second. Anyway, so Turkida Dibu Kedibu Gami, which applies in a wide variety of areas of halacha. For example, it comes up in Hilchos Brachas. It comes up in Hilchos Brachas, for example, for example, you make a bracha on food, you know, and you can't interrupt more than Turkida Dibu before you actually eat the food. And you have different other things. Let's say, for example, you made a bracha and you weren't able to do it right away. You'd have to make the bracha again, but again, that would only be where it was after Tezkeret Dibur. And there are various other things throughout in many areas of halacha where Tezkeret Dibur Kedibur Dami. Now, on what basis? So let's learn the next few words of the Gemara, and then we'll talk about this big machlokas we're showing him. What is the basis of this concept of Tezkeret Dibur Kedibur Dami? Levar me avodas kechavim, with the exception, one exception is avodah zara. So the Rashbam says it means if a person were to be makdish something for avodah zara. Person were to say that I'm designating this thing for avodah zarah, and Turkida Dibu, he changes his mind, it wouldn't work, and the thing nevertheless is still considered osur as tikrovis avodah zarah. Tosfos disagrees with that and says, because no, the fact is there's no such thing as hekdesh for avodah zarah. The person's thing becomes osur for avodah zarah only when an actual maaser was done with it, which we'll learn about as the Shem and Masechta avodah zarah and Masechta Tmura. Anyway, so rather Tosfos says, we're talking about, let's say, that he said, and the Rambam agrees with this, let's say, for example, he were to say, Keli Ata, he says on a certain Getchka, you're my God. Even if he changes his mind, Tezkeret Dibur, and says, you're not, nevertheless, he's still Chayev Skila or Chatas or whatever it is that he's Chayev in the particular case. So Avodas Kechavim, elsewhere when the Gemara brings this concept, it also mentions Megadif. So here, Tosfos points out, the Gemara didn't mention Megadif, because it's kind of included in Avodah Zarah. Megadif is where a person blasphemes and curses Hashem. So again, if he were to say such a thing, even if he changes his mind, Tezkeret Dibur, too late, he's still getting skiller. So that's one. The Kiddushin, and another exception would be Kiddushin. If he's Mekadosh a woman, and then says Tezkeret Dibur, that no, I actually meant it as a gift, doesn't matter, and the Kiddushin is still effective. Or at least it may not be effective. Suffolk. It's a suffolk condition, at least. Mekudeshes v'ena mekudeshes. And then elsewhere when the Gemara mentions this, it mentions also Gerushin. If he gives his wife a get, then the same thing. He can't change his mind. Even Tezkeret Dibur, or at least it might be a suffolk get then. But then, and again, the Gemara doesn't bring it over here because it's keeping things short, but Kedushin and Gittin are alike in many ways. So what applies to one often applies to the other one as well. Now. On what basis are we saying this din? Where does this concept of Tezkeret Dibur come from? There's a few different opinions among Rishonim. The Rashbam learns that it's Daraisa. Midaraisa, a person does something and he changes his mind. Tezkeret Dibur, it would work. Really, Midaraisa, the Rashbam is saying, it would apply to Kedushin as well, for example. But because of the Chumrah of it, therefore the Chacham said that she's Mekudeshes Misafik and she's going to need a get Misafik. On the other hand, Tosfos says over here that if Dirabbanan, suppose a person, for example, is doing business with somebody else. He says, I agree to buy this thing. Then all of a sudden, his Rebbe passes by, and he has to say to him, Shalom Alecha, Rebbe Umori. So now, if you don't allow him to retract what he said as far as his business, then he's not gonna want to say Shalom to his Rebbe. So therefore, the Chachamim made a takana, let him have the opportunity to say Shalom Alecha to his Rebbe, and then to be able to return to his business and say, you know what, I changed my mind, and that way it'll promote that he's going to give Shalom to his Rebbe. Elsewhere, Tosfos points out, we can be talking about, in fact, where his Rebbe said Shalom to him first, and the Gemara tells us in Brachas that if a person says Shalom to you and you don't answer him back, it's considered like Zela. So therefore, you don't want to gazel him, you don't want to steal from him.
Because
like he gave you a bracha, Shalom Aleichem, why are you not giving him one back? So therefore, so the Chachamim didn't want to prevent a person from doing that. If he's going to realize for himself, wait, as soon as I say this, then it's going to be irrevocable. And then therefore, if my Rebbe passes by and he says, Shalom Aleichem, I'm not going to be able to, and he's going to think to himself, wait, I can't answer because I have to immediately go and then retract from this business deal. So therefore, the Chachamim gave him this break. The Ran, in turn, in the Dorim, so now Tosfos points out, now you do have, for example, cases involving, for example, Kriya. That for example, you have a person was told, let's say, that his brother passed away and he did Kriya, and then within Tosh Kedidib, where they tell him actually it was your father. So does he have to do another Kriya? So it depends whether it was Tosh Kedidib or not. Now there, that has nothing to do with doing business or whatever. So Tosfos says loy plug. On the other hand, the Ran in Dorim gives yet another reason for it. In the Dorim, where it also brings this concept of Tosh Kedidibur, the Ran over there explains like this. Most things, you could say, a person says something, but like it takes him a few seconds to fully commit to it. So we're going to figure that a person has said something, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's holding himself to that until Acha Tosh Kedidibur. But when it comes to the things that we're mentioning in the Gemara of it, so according to Tosfos, then the vote would be that usually it's Dirabbanan, and then when it comes to Avodah Zarah and Kiddushin, as we're saying in the Gemara over here, so those, the Chachamim, did not make that takana there, they left it the way it would be Daraisa, that there's no grace period of Tosh Kedidibur. Now, the Ran kind of takes a middle view on it. He says the vote is, usually a person is not necessarily mentally committing himself until after Kedidibur. But when it comes to Avodah Zarah and Megadif and Kedushin and Gerushin, these are all very serious things. A person doesn't say them to begin with unless he thought it over carefully. So therefore, when he actually says, as Rashbam says, I'm makdish this to Avodah Zarah, or as Tosfos says, Keliata, or whatever, then we can assume that he actually thought it through and actually sincerely meant it, and therefore we don't give him the grace period of Tosh Kedidibur, and the same thing with Megadif, and the same thing with Kedushin and Gerushin. So there are several different explanations, in short, of what this whole concept of Tosh Kedidibur, Kedibur Dami, is based on. Whether it's Daraisa or whether it's Dirabbanan or whether it's based on this concept of that a person sincerely has committed to what he's saying ahead of time or not. In any case, so we're saying it does apply in most areas of halacha, with the exception of the few that we said over here. And again, how much is considered Tosh Kedidibur, whether it means to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe or to say Shalom Alecha Rebbe or Mori, that's a further machlokas aposkim about that.